I want to greet you again this morning in the name of Jesus. For those of you who weren't here about three Sundays ago, I shared out of the book of Job. We talked a little bit about Job's difficulties. We talked about what he went through. We talked about where he ended up at. Today we're going to go back. We're going to use some of the same scripture again. And I'd like for us to see something a little different this morning in the book of Job. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 3. The place where Job's at right now, he's lost his family, he's lost everything he has. His body is oozing, it's stinking. Then he has these three friends that come out and sit with him. And for 7 days they say nothing. Job chapter 3. We're going to read all of Job chapter 3. I want you just to catch a little bit here. In Job 3, how he was feeling. I've titled my message, "There Was a Man Named Job," with a subtitle, "Peace in the Midst of the Storm." Let me ask you this morning, have you come into some storms in your life? I think if we go up and down the benches this morning and I'd ask you, what was your latest storm? I think we find out that we've all had some pretty decent storms in our life. Maybe we're in a storm this morning. Maybe there's turmoil in our hearts this morning. As we read through this, let's think about the fact that Job was in the middle of a storm. Before we read this, I want to tell you a little story, and you've probably heard this story many times already. But the story about the art gallery that was putting out a plea, "We want you to paint pictures of peace. Paint a picture of peace, and we're going to give a prize out to the best picture." All kinds of pictures started coming in. They had pictures with beautiful sunsets, the orange sun going down, the beautiful colors. They had pictures of a white farmhouse with a picket fence with Grandma and Grandpa sitting on the porch drinking lemonade. Different pictures of peace. But one picture came in, and when they uncovered this picture, people gasped. They couldn't believe what was in this picture. Here we had a picture of a sea, and there was lightning striking across the sky. There were some tall cliffs. The waves were crashing against the cliffs. There was a lot of water coming off of the cliffs. Peaceful? No. But what caught their eye was in the cliff, in a tiny little spot, was a bird sitting in this cliff with its young peeking out from underneath it. It was peaceful. That's life today. We have storms, but I want us this morning to understand that we can come to a place of peace. We have peace because we know the Maker. We know the God of peace. Job chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. Thank you. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary or barren. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight therefore be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then I had been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or as a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul? Which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. Which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. If we can just paint a little bit of a picture here of Job sitting there, struggling through his difficulties, and then he writes this. I want you to turn to Psalm 46. I want to read a psalm of peace. Here we have a lot of turmoil, but I'd like for us to read a psalm of peace this morning. A psalm that shows us where we can get our strength. I'm not going to make any comments on this psalm, but I just hope that you can take this psalm. Actually, I'd like for you to stand this morning if you can as we read through this. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I told you I'm not going to comment, I am. Be still, and know that I am God. This still here is talking about being as quiet as a sloth. Have you ever seen a sloth get excited? They don't. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, you may be seated. I'm 51 years old. Some of you call that pretty old. Thank you. Some of us learn things a little later in life. I've gone through some difficulties in my life because I chose to trust in myself. I don't mean to harm anybody this morning by what I have to say. But it took me until I was 51 years old to realize that one of the answers to walking faithfully with Christ and one of the answers to being able to come through the storms is knowing who I am in Christ. Knowing who I am in Christ. I faced some storms and I blamed God. I faced some storms. I blamed some of you in here. I faced some storms. I blamed my family. This morning I can be here and I can honestly tell you I know who I am in Christ. I had the best week this week I think that I've ever had. I again sought God this week and I asked Him, I said, God, show me this week how to live in the midst of a storm. I didn't have any huge storms come to me this week. Yeah, I had my water pump die on me. I missed Wednesday night because of that. That's a tiny storm. Thank you. I appreciate that. But through all of that, I was able to smile because I knew where I was at. I don't know what we're going to face this week. I have no idea what I'm going to face. I don't know what you're going to face. But I pray this morning, whatever we face, that we know where we are in Christ. We know who we're walking with. I want to look at a couple points this morning of who I am in Christ. I'd like for you to turn to Job chapter 19. We were in Job there, but let's go on over to Job chapter 19. Job faced all these issues, but he states some verses here that are just beautiful. I just love these verses. I used them last week and I'm going to use them again. Job 19, verse 25, 26, and 27. Job was facing so many things. We face so many things. So many difficulties. Job says here, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job knew where he belonged. Do I know this morning where I belong? Do I know who my Father is? Before we go any further, I'd like to make this comment. If you have never given your heart to the Lord, if you've never answered that call, then you're not going to be secure in Christ. You need to answer that call. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to answer that call. Am I going to be able to live life without storms? No. So I need a place where I can be secure. Knowing who I am in Christ is key to a successful Christian walk with the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You might want to keep your Bibles handy because we're going to look at quite a few different scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So the first one I like to look at is who I am in Christ. In Christ, I am made new. I want you to think about this word new. He says there, he is a new creature. There's two different kinds of news in the Bible. They use the word a couple of different times, new. The one is, he's made something new that's been gone here for a long time already. The new that he's talking about here is made new, but there's no other like it. I hope I can explain what I'm trying to say here. You have a special place in God's heart. He has made you new. You're special. He knows your name. Isaiah talks about that. He knows your name. It's a little bit like we have children. I've got four children. Each one of my children, I love them in their own special way. It's not that I love one more than the other, but they have a special place in my heart. God loves you. He has a special place in His heart for you. Marcus, He knows you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs you got on your head, and it's not fair. You still have black hair. But God knows us. He knows us exactly who we are. I've been made new. The next verse I'll just read quick. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." We are made new. We've been delivered. 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We're new. He's given us everything we need. Now we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You and I are given the opportunity to make choices. Those choices are going to determine what direction we go. So many times we look back at our past life. Most of you don't know my past life. And I'm glad you don't, because you probably say you don't deserve to be a minister here. But God forgives us. He cleans the slate. He makes us new. I want to drill that in this morning. We are made new. Yeah, we still live in this old body. Sometimes we still face the old fleshly things. But our spirit, His spirit is within us. We've been made new. Ephesians 1:6, would you turn there, please? The next one we want to look at is, in Christ we are accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let me read that in the NLT. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. We are accepted. We belong only because of His grace. We belong. So many times in this life we feel like we really don't belong anywhere. Just kind of a loose feeling. We belong. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. This word joined talks about to cleave, to keep company. Then in Revelation 21, verse 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You think about that? Your name is written in the book of life? Amen. Your name is written in the book of life. And I'm speaking to those of us this morning that are walking with the Lord. Romans 3:24, would you turn there, please? Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. We have been redeemed. What does it mean that we are redeemed? It means that Christ came and He bought us back. Do you ever think about what it took for the Father to send Him here? The pain that He had to go through to allow His Son to come, to die. And then where we stood, He came to redeem us, but yet we stood here and we mocked Him. And even today we turn our back on Him, don't we? When He came to redeem us. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me ask you a little bit how you think through life. I'll tell you how I've thought. My thought patterns haven't always been positive. If I believe in victory, if I think about being victorious, there's a really good chance that I'm going to end up being victorious. Why? Because my thought patterns are directed that way. If a man wants to become wealthy, and this comes from Dave Ramsey, the man who has gone into bankruptcy, come back out again. He said, if you really want to be wealthy, think like a wealthy person. I believe that carries over into Scripture. If you want to have a close walk with God, think that way. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, to cleanse you, and bring you to a place where you can walk close with God. Let's go to Titus 3:7. Titus 3:7 says this, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In Christ we are heirs. We've been given things even though we don't deserve it. I've never come to a place where I've had a large sum of money given to me because I've been an heir. I don't really know what that's like. But he tells us here that if we are walking with him, we are heirs to the kingdom. When we leave this life, if we've walked with the Lord, we cross that river. I was thinking about that the other day. When we cross that river, what's it going to be like to see what all's there? And he says, I'm giving this to you. He's preparing mansions for us. We are heirs. We're not only heirs there. But as we walk this life here and we've given our hearts to the Lord, we're walking with him, we can start our walk with peace right here. We are heirs with him. Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Don't like that word in there. It talks about suffering with him. But we do suffer. We haven't faced a whole lot of that here. But there is a possibility that we will. John 1 verse 12, if you turn there please. But as many as received him, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Christ we are sons and daughters. We are part of his family. First John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Do I realize that I am a son or a daughter of the Most High? Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. In Christ we are a house for the Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? If we are a house for the Holy Spirit, we're not just a part-time house. So many times we like the idea that when I'm doing my things, the Holy Spirit may not exactly be within me, but when I come to church, He shows up. And let me not undermine that, because the Holy Spirit does show up in church. But let me challenge you in your walk every day. Is the Holy Spirit living within you? Do you have that fire inside that the Holy Spirit gives you? God spoke to me about that here a while back. I was at work and I wasn't having such a good day because I was thinking about myself. Clint comes walking around the corner. I work with Clint there. He was all excited. He says, you know what? I got to pray with a woman today. She was out front and she fell. And we got to help her outside and I got to pray with her. God told me, he said, would you have been the one that would have been able to pray? No, that morning I wouldn't have been able to pray with that woman. I have bitterness in my heart. If I'd have been asked to pray for that woman, I'd have had to fake something. We are to have the Holy Spirit within us. We are to live lives that are on fire. Second Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a verse we can claim, a beautiful verse. He'll be our God, we can be his people. I have two more I want to look at really quick here. The next one's in Colossians 2, verse 9. I'll just read these real quick. The next one we'll look at is, in Christ we are complete. We are full. We are perfect. Wait a minute. Yeah, we can be perfect in Christ only by His grace. Of ourselves, we're not perfect, but because of God, we are. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Makes me think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He brings us to a completion. We lack nothing. We have all that we need. We're complete in Him. How many times have I not remembered this? And I had a bad day because I didn't remember that I was complete in Christ. The last one we'll look at is, we have been forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I've been redeemed. My sins have been forgiven. What am I going to do about that? I'm going to forgive others, ain't I? If I don't forgive others, I believe my sins have been forgiven. I am loved, so I love. I'm accepted, so I serve. I'm forgiven, so I forgive. Turn to Job chapter 42. I want us just to get a glimpse of where Job came to. Job 42 verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Then it says, you've asked, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not. I've said some things that I really shouldn't have said. Job comes into submission here to Christ, to God. And he realizes that he's done some things that he probably shouldn't have done. He submits to God. Then let's go on down to verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, one of the men that was there that was supposed to be speaking encouragement to Job, he said, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer for yourselves a burnt offering. And listen to this. He says, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Then go down to verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I never saw that before. God asked Job to pray for his friends. He says, you guys make a sacrifice for what you've done. So Job prayed for them. I don't know if Job had to forgive him or what happened here. But he prayed for them. What happens after he prayed for them? Verse 10. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I believe God's just waiting to bless us. No, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel where we walk with the Lord, we become wealthy, we get all kinds of things. But I do believe when we walk with God and we follow Him, that He can bless us. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our storms that we just can't see beyond it. And I know what I'm talking about. I want to read a story to you this morning. I don't like reading stories. I like telling stories. But this morning I'm going to read this. And I'm not trying to play with your emotions this morning when I read this story. But this is a true story. And this is a story about a young girl that went through some very, very difficult times. This girl's name was Mindy. Mindy was a junior high girl with long, beautiful blonde hair. I met her while speaking at a camp in Montana. She was unable to attend some of my talks and later apologized for her absence, saying she was sick. As it turned out, Mindy was more than sick. Just 2 days after camp, Mindy was rushed to Denver, Colorado for delicate emergency surgery to remove a malignant tumor invading her brainstem and spinal cord. The surgery lasted 12 hours. During recovery, she developed pneumonia. Mindy's condition was so serious that doctors offered her family little hope that she would live out the rest of that year. But Mindy was a believer and a fighter. She recovered from surgery and pneumonia and started chemotherapy. The radiation treatments made her sick and she lost most of her hair. When I visited Mindy in her home, she met me at the door wearing a blonde wig. She lost over 20 pounds. Her voice was raspy from the radiation treatments, and she looked very weak. "How are you doing, Mindy?" I asked, fighting back my tears. Mindy broke the pain of the awkward moment with a smile, saying, "Do you want to see my wig?" Before I could respond, she pulled the wig off her head and thrust it toward me. Her beautiful long blonde hair was gone, except for small patches draped from her head like the thin strands of ribbon. This was no vain girl who was devastated at the loss of her physical beauty. This was a girl who had found a new and greater beauty inside because of her relationship with Christ. "Dave, I wish every kid could have cancer," Mindy said as we talked. I couldn't hide my look of shock. "Mindy, why?" She smiled a cute little smile and said, "Because then they would realize what's really important in life. The only things my friends seem to care about are things that don't last. Boyfriends, what your hair looks like, who likes you. It's also unimportant compared to knowing God. I used to be that way too." She paused for a moment and then smiled at me. "But when you know you're going to die, you only care about things that are going to last. Before I was sick, Jesus was only part of my life. Now He's everything to me." Mindy died before she got out of high school. I'm going to read to you the verses that Mindy used that she hung on to through this time. These are the verses that Mindy hung on to throughout her sickness. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, we face struggles, we face storms, we face trials. But I want to challenge you this morning with a thought. Who are you in Christ? Is He your all in all? Let's stand for prayer. God, this morning, You know our struggles, You know our trials. And Lord, we have them. We all face them. There's none of us here that are exempt. But Father, this morning I ask that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Father, the struggles that we face, we can face alone, or we can allow You to carry us through. I just want to bless You this morning, Lord, for making us, giving us the opportunity, Lord, to walk the path that You choose. We seek Your forgiveness, Father, for being so selfish, for thinking of our own selves. But we want to bless You. We want to love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.